Welcome to this final class. It's been really, really good to be with y'all and to participate in this event. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you light the world? One candle at a time. I'd like to begin with a passage in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. God wants to do an exciting work in the world, and He is doing that. He's doing that in many different places over the world. What we are interested in is He going to do it in our communities. They're igniting the flame over there. Maybe you should shut the door. Where we are lighting the world over here. Now, this is good. But when we go back to our communities, we'll be lighting the world. Our commission is to light the world at that place. Just thinking about it a little bit, I don't know what the average schoolroom we have here is, but if there are indeed 300 teachers here at this event, and if we have 10, maybe, in each classroom, we could be touching 3,000 lives by this event. Think of that. And if John Wesley said that if he had only 100 men who feared no one but God, loved Him with their whole heart, he could shake the very foundations of hell and set up the kingdom of God on earth, that God could do that. What could we do with this great army we've got? But we must start with a live flame. We can't start it ourselves. We've got to be given the flame. I was talking yesterday to some of my compatriots about this idea of seeking the Lord with all our heart. What does it take to seek the Lord with your whole heart? Sometimes we think we're seeking Him with our whole heart, but are we actually? And I'm of the opinion that we only seek the Lord truly and honestly and really with our whole heart when we have to. We can't think our way into it. It's not like a mental construct that we put ourselves in and say, okay, I am now going to seek the Lord with my whole heart. Because there's an element of desperation that has to enter into our seeking God if we are to actually get to the end of ourselves and search for Him with our whole heart. So what does it take? Well, it can take a tragedy, and often that is what happens. That's when a person truly finds God. It's when something tragic happens to them to find themselves at the end of their options. It can also happen, I believe, intentionally when we take God at His word and place ourselves in a position of vulnerability where we have no other option but to choose Him and but to lean on Him. When it comes to lighting the world, you all are teachers. And I've been a preacher longer than I've been a teacher, but I still consider myself a teacher at heart. But as teachers, you have probably, I don't believe I'm going out on a limb saying this, the most impactful church work in your community. Now, parents obviously have something that you don't have. But as far as the ministry that your church has, you have something more powerful there than anybody else. But you get back there and you're teaching math class. And how can I light the world? And you've got your day-to-day rhythms. How can I light the world here? I'd like to challenge you with an idea. First of all, start with God's fire, not your own. Number two, Don't be afraid to take baby steps. The journey of 100 miles begins with one step. And we have these great ideas. We want someday to do something great for God. And there is one young man of my acquaintance who who has called me fairly regularly over the last 5 years. And he always has the same question. And that is, I really want to know God's will for my life. And I really want to do something great for Him. What should I do? And after a conversation, he goes back and does the same thing he did before. And I've tried to encourage him. You know what? Do something real. It doesn't have to be going to wherever. Do something real. Take a baby step. So ask yourself the question, what's something that you could do, that you would do, if you only did it? And it's something close by. Several years ago, back at our church youth group, there were several boys in conversation at a church social. And one of the boys was lamenting the fact that why don't we go out and do more for God? We should do that. We're just not doing enough. And sort of in a lamenting, helpless kind of a way. And one of the other boys said, well, let's do something. We could call it the Live Team. And we could, and they started planning. And next thing you know, right there in that little social, they built a plan. And they started raking leaves, mowing lawns, taking suppers to neighbors. So they would descend on, somebody would submit a name, and the young people would go over and talk to this person before somebody in the neighborhood, and then they would descend upon their place, and they would bring supper, the girls would bring supper, the boys would do yard work, whatever it happened to be, and then they would make this connection with some random person in the neighborhood. It's a great idea. And you know what? It died out. They're not doing it anymore. Was it a success or was it a failure? It was absolutely a success. Don't be afraid to take baby steps. Do you mind shutting the door? I love him to death, but he's distracted. Don't be afraid to take baby steps, and then don't be afraid to just follow it wherever it leads. Find something you have interest in, that you have an interest in, that you'd like to learn more about, that you could have fun doing, and go do that thing. It's one way of lighting the world. Another way of lighting the world is to model respect. So I lived several years in Romania, and I went there as a fairly young man. The first year I was there, I was there with my family. And it was early enough that I was at a very formative part of my life. And very quickly I learned to love Romania. It was a great place to finish growing up in. And there was so much to love and so much to enjoy and such a great culture. And we got visitors. We got lots of visitors because we were in Romania and everybody wanted to go and see what Romania was like. And one of the most distressing things to us was when Americans would come in and they would look around with disgust and contempt and patronization and talk about the natives and how much better everything was back in America. And then, but then they would try to go on these little. They wanted to reach the natives for Jesus. Oh, it was horrible. I came to believe that there is no such thing as a disrespectful missionary. You will absolutely light no fires. You will not light the world if you have disrespect and contempt toward those you are trying to reach. Genuine love and caring is the vehicle that will carry your message to the heart of people you are trying to help. Genuine love and caring and humility. Respect begets respect. And when it comes to the classroom, your students are people, even if they're small. Respect them as people and teach them that respect carries with it responsibility. Teach them to respect others, whether they're classmates, whether they're complete strangers. And that can be in ways as simple as common courtesies. Teach the boys to open the door for the girls. I know that's chauvinist at this. We're considered chauvinist at this point by being chivalrous. But go ahead and teach them. Boys, open the door for the girls. Stand in line. Show kindness. Don't interrupt. There's a conversation going on and you have something to share. Just wait a second and then share it. Those kinds of things of modeling respect are really important if we are going to be lighting the world for Jesus. if we are disrespectful to the those we are trying to reach, if we are being, we will get in God's way. Try to teach your children not to steal other children's thunder, their punchlines, or to talk over them. There's nothing more deflating than to be working on a good joke and you're building up to it and you're almost there and somebody jumps in and finishes the story. Those kinds of things, just teach them. That's not the way to be. Teach them to stand up straight, to look somebody in the eyes, shake their hand, and give themselves and give their introduction with dignity and confidence. Make your classroom a safe space for brainstorming and looking at ideas. So, model respect. One of the things that is good to remember is that if you allow negativity to come into your classroom in any shape or form, whether it's toward a board member, toward a parent, toward a child, whatever it is, if negativity gets into your classroom, it spreads asymmetrically, and it will become a targetless entity that just inhabits your classroom and spreads to every corner. So don't allow negativity to get into your classroom. Number four, if we're going to be lighting the world, and remember our subheading here is that do our children, our students have the training and need to help them be lights, is to promote confidence by competence. So don't prop them up with ego boosting. Rather, give them the tools that they need to be able to stand on their own two feet in confidence and in competence and in humility. Mastering a skill creates confidence in a way that nothing else can. And it will help them to be at the place where they can be a light and a witness without shame, without embarrassment, if they know that they have the skills that they need. Continue to challenge capable students. Back when I was teaching, we had one year that we taught, I had a young girl who was in seventh grade at the time. And she was, in her spare time as she was finishing her math work, she was keeping ahead of the ninth graders in their algebra. She was very, very quick. And she has gone on to be very successful in the Homeschool Legal Association. She's a defense attorney for them. But, what to do with your fast students? Keep on challenging them. We set up a chess club, and she promptly went about, and we set up a tournament, and she promptly set about defeating the entire school, including me. But it was something that she loved, and it challenged her, and she the whole school room participated in that. But challenge your capable students. Foreign languages is another one. And this is a great tool to give them for being able to go out into the world and to serve God. If you give them some basis in foreign languages, especially in one that's a common one in use in large sections of the world, Russian or Spanish, great choices. Excellence in any field is a beautiful thing. Just when you see somebody who is really, truly good at anything, I respect that, no matter what that thing is. And I think it's really important that we as teachers model that bell curve of seeking excellence in something. And whether it's, like we heard this morning, finding a subject that we can drill down in and really enjoy, or whether it's something extracurricular that you can sort of bring your children on the journey with you. Find something that you can do without sacrificing your classroom that you are chasing. Some of you have taken up painting in the recent past. That's an excellent idea. Painting or drawing. Maybe it's writing. Maybe it's languages, whether it's Greek or Hebrew or a modern language, a live language. Continuing education, hobbies, mission projects. Find something that you can pour your heart into and that you can bring your children along with you. And it will help ignite that flame, and then that will also continue to light the world. I think it's also really important that as we do this, what we're also modeling is what it looks like to struggle to master something. Life should be struggle. That's the way it's supposed to be lived. It's not meant to be lived just gently and quietly in a corner. And you know, as we've learned here this week, our goal is not to simply raise people who will grow up, get married, get a dog and a cat, 10 chickens, 5 children, successful at business, go on and die in a peaceful old age. That's not our goal, is it? I mean, that's great. That's part of the picture, to have a happy home life, etc., etc. But we have to have a bigger goal. And that's the goal of taking the kingdom of God into the world, whatever way that looks like, not just for our own comfort. So it's struggle. Be vulnerable in your journey to the mastery of your project or your interest. Show them humility. And, you know, the interesting thing about humility is it's also, it's a sort of a, this lack of nervousness about where you are. I've believe it or not, taken up an interest in running. Now, I'm not a fast runner, but I can tell people with a degree of, it's there's no pride in the fact when I tell them how fast my pace is. It's simply a mathematical fact. I can tell you I can run 5 miles at about 8:25. That's a fact. And it's not, so you don't have to say, oh, I'm no good. You can say, well, I'm this good. And it's a measurable fact. So show them humility, show them tenacity, keeping on, keeping on. Show them teachability, show them your struggle, show them your focus, your honest confidence. And that will help them as they grow up and they struggle and they try to make this real in their lives. Because whatever it is, it needs to be real. Servant, kingdom, God focus versus self-centeredness is so important when it comes to this promoting confidence by competence. Promote a Great Commission worldview in which the gospel touches all parts of your life. And that can involve telling stories about historical and contemporary missionaries, which means you need to show an interest in the world. One of my favorite stories is about a man by the name of Nicolae Moldovianu, who was a Romanian, who during the time of communism in Romania was sent to prison multiple times. And for his faith and for he wasn't reticent, he kept on talking. In prison, he wrote or composed multiple songs. It was upwards of, he would memorize like 300 of his songs at a time. He couldn't write them down, they wouldn't give him anything to write with. But he'd come back from prison and start writing down these songs, hundreds and hundreds of them. And one of the classic Romanian songs that we know is a song called Beautiful Heavens, Cersenin. And the story behind that was him in a cell, and it was winter, and there was a window high up on the wall. He couldn't actually see the sunlight most of the time. He never saw the sun, but he could see a little piece of sky. And he would sit there and he'd look at it, and he would think about heaven and the beautiful heavens above. And so he writes this song from that place of darkness. And yet it's touched many, many lives over there. Provide skills in cultural adaptation and foreign languages. In my traumatic experience as a youngster in Romania and seeing these tone-deaf Americans come over and really traumatize or damage what we were trying to do there has never really left me. And that's something that I hope that can be corrected in our generations, that teach your children to respect other cultures and other places. Show them appreciation for those things. Prioritize the Great Commission. And I think one great way of doing that is taking on a class outreach project, like we heard this morning. Just find something that you all can vote on, do together, and then just go do it. And it doesn't have to last the next 10 years. It can last this quarter, but something that you can do that will help solidify that in their minds. here in just a minute, I would like for us to split up a little bit and come up with do some brainstorming, come up with some ideas that you would have to present to the rest of us for some of these outreach ideas or projects. Or maybe you can just tell us of some things that you have done or have seen done. Maybe we can carry those back to our different classes. Lighting the world, number 6, may look different in your life than you thought it would. Alan Saunders says, life is what happens to us while we are making other plans. And Proverbs says it this way, man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We think we come up with a plan. And I never assumed when I was 20 that when I was 41 I'd be in the States. I always thought I would be on a mission field somewhere. That's where I wanted to live my life. And it's different. It's different than I expected. But it's just as good. I mean, I love the life that God has given me. And I'm blessed in the life that God has given me. Lighting the world may look different in your life than you thought it would. Don't allow yourself to fall prey to resentment. And maybe you're never tempted to be resentful of those beautiful children in your classroom when it feels like they're limiting you to something. You would much rather be somewhere else. Don't allow yourself to fall prey to resentment. We all know what we want, but the question is how to get there. And people are messy. Your students are yet unformed in many ways. Their parents are primarily interested in how school affects their own children. Your school board may vary between being apathetic and apoplectic. This is life. If you're going to equip your students to be the light of the world, one of the best ways to get started is to model grace, humility, clarity, and courage, both in the classroom and out of it. So light in the world may look different in your life than you thought it would, but be willing to take it wherever it takes you. All right, I'd like to break into groups here, and maybe groups of 4. Can we just do that? Just sort of turn your chairs toward each other. And I'll give you about 5 minutes to talk about ideas, some baby ideas for baby steps, ideas for projects that either you have seen or you would like to try. And then we'll turn around here in a bit and we'll start sharing them around the circle. So you may go ahead and start with that at this time.
I think that's
All right. Give you a couple more seconds to wind this down. Very good. All right, I didn't ask you to choose a spokesperson for each group, but let's just sort of work our way across the room, maybe this way. So, over here, is there anything that you that you'd like to share with us?
Well, mentioned going to church selling, taking the students to church selling. And I'm not sure how you did that. That sounds interesting.
So, what was your purpose in doing that? Fantastic. So what values do you see that would have been taught in that project?
It's more blessed to give than to receive.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
Thinking about the needy and helping them.
Mm-hmm. Were they working by themselves? Maybe some cross-generational connection there, too. Okay, great. That's a fantastic idea. And one that's within reach for a lot of us, right? So not a hard... That's a baby step. That's a good one. All right.
We also have an opportunity to have our students color Christmas cards, and then they're passed out in prisons around the Northwest here. I've been able to help pass out the cards for I'm not sure how many years, and it's quite interesting to see that. It's helpful to me because I can go back and tell my students about the experience of passing them out, and they really enjoy it too. The students do, and the prisoners do as well.
That's a great idea. So John's dad has a quote that he says, "You can tell how what state a person is mentally when you hear what kinds of things give them comfort." Something to that extent. And, you know, a hand-colored card to somebody in that kind of a place, it's incredible what it actually means. It's, you know, this isn't just a mailing, but some child colored this, and here it is for me. It actually, you know, you think, oh, that's just a card. Yeah. Those things are actually really impactful, and I think have a real way of touching somebody emotionally who really needs it. That's fantastic. Does anybody else, what is another skill or what other good do you see coming out of that project? One of the statements I least like in our repertoire is, "There but for the grace of God go I." I know it's sort of a, you know, God's got me over here, thank God he's got me over here. I'm not like that publican. And this is a great way of bridging that gap. And so instead of talking that way, we say, how can I minister to these people? It's a fantastic point. Okay, thank you. Anybody else from this one? All right, let's move back. Send the back chair to you, Nathan and Paul. Your group, Jonathan. What did you come up with for us?
We were talking about singing.
Okay.
Schools can sing, usually, and taking that singing in the Christmas and Easter time with the card thing that was mentioned as well. Students can pencil crayon a card that's themed for the season. One thing that I was in the middle of writing about is having my students practice reading, and then we went to a rehab center where I knew the administration and had prearranged it. This was just upper grade students would go there, and the administration of the rehab center would, we're talking about physical rehab, physical therapy type of thing. They would offer to read a story. Do you want to hear this story about us instead? Do you want to hear the 23rd Psalm? Do you want to hear, there were three options.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, normal is invisible to us because it's normal. And one of our normals is our harmonic singing, four-part singing. And it's just something that exists and it's just sort of there. I was talking recently with a young man who does not come from our tradition, and we were talking specifically about outreach opportunities. We had actually met and we're having lunch. What can we do to reach out in our community? And he said, you know, one of the gifts that y'all have that you don't know you have is this gift of song. He said, that is impactful. You don't realize how impactful it actually is. So, great idea. Take that gift. It's something it's in our hands. It's like Moses' rod. It's a gift we've already got in our hands, and use it. So, what are some other places we could bring that gift of music to bear in our from our schoolrooms? Endless opportunities. Don't ask stupid questions because you won't get any answers. All right. What are some objectives if we were going to use singing as a way of lighting the world? What are some things that we're aiming at?
I think that there's something important about teaching them to look for opportunities locally. We can all send stuff to CAM or send money, but there's something about seeing the needs right here that you can actually minister to the local community.
Fantastic. How else might this be useful in developing our children?
Part of it's the ability to relate to older people. Oftentimes that's the age group that we tend to sing for. The ability to relate to that as well as learning manners and different cultures and the ability to appreciate being in someone's house where cats and dogs are running around and you'll have to pinch your nose, but...
And go ahead and appreciate that. Yeah, okay, thank you. Now, I also see a value in it can be really hard for children to get past themselves and to just, you know, develop this confidence of, I have something to present. It's hard for them to navigate the boundary between, we talk about pride a lot. Don't be prideful. But now get up front and do your very best. It's hard for them to navigate that boundary. And if we can turn that into a service opportunity, do your best to help them, to lift them up, to build them up, and forget about yourself, I think repetition in this kind of an environment is really helpful in developing a confidence at that kind of a level. Okay, great. All right, let's keep on rushing along. In the back, anybody else?
So, Chair, you mentioned something that I thought was kind of interesting, something about a class baking cookies and taking them to the neighbors, including the ones that get frustrated about all the traffic on the road to the school and that kind of thing. So, kind of a good for evil, maybe in a modified sense, but a great opportunity.
Okay, good. And we've obviously got some skills there to learn for the boys as well as the girls, cooking and baking. Okay, that's a good one. Okay, we'll keep on moving. Anybody, let's move along the back. What did you all come up with in the back over here?
Well, same with another one that was already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas caroling. I didn't think of too. I think a project, you know, like in the yard or something like that would be good. Maybe a good art thing once in a great while. Make it nice for me and make it a good exercise for the students.
Right, yeah, there you go. Okay, on back. Anybody up here? Justin, what did you have?
Me?
Yeah, did you all come up with anything over in this corner?
Well, I thought of the same thing as said, that we were doing something for our event for our project. Go to
sure.
Helping in there, go to one of the older folks from church and appreciating the older and their respect for them. And he was saying about it, and maybe he could, but sending letters to Jaden said about sending letters to from in the States to those who are in other countries.
Sure.
It's kind of the
thing to keep them. Yeah.
Over here in the center. I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but train our children to go to the kitchen, something like that. And it depends like a lot where you live. Is it always safe? I'm not sure. in Washington, Northwest, like, mm-hmm. everywhere. But I'm Missouri, and I couldn't find any soup kitchens. I have kids acting like there's not thing like that much. But
no, that's a great
idea.
That's a good idea. And you know, the nice thing about something like that is maybe there are safety issues. Bring in other people. And there again, you're teaching teamwork. And the fact that we are all in this together, it's not us children versus the grown-ups. It's, hey, we've got this project. I think it's beautiful if children can be part of this creative process, and you throw this out at the students and you say, hey, what can we do to help show the love of God in our community? And then they start coming up with ideas and concepts. And then they actually take that back and sell it to the church. And the grown-ups say, hey, it's a great idea. It really is empowering and confidence-building for these young people to carry that forward.
Heidi, at your school, did y'all do an Adopt a Highway program thing at some point some years ago? Or was it your youth? Anyway, I've thought about that. Maybe that's applicable for at least high schoolers. They're visible. People are driving by on the road, so that's some value there. If you're going to make a scene, be seen, I guess. obviously, there's things like you probably have to have some training. You know, there could be pornographic magazines in the dish. There's probably needles, things like that. I mean, so there'd be some things to consider with that, but it's a great way to serve the community.
Sure, absolutely. One of the things, go ahead.
I was just going to say one other thing would be if you hear about someone else whose child had leukemia or some very disease, that was a pretty major thing. And the children, and it was greater than just the school, but they got together and put a whole binder together of get well notes and pictures and colorings and stuff, and they sent it to that family. And that family later came back and just mentioned how a blessing that was to have all these children in this church thinking about them. It's just a really great thing.
Sure, that's great. So these are ways that children can actually get involved in ministry. Some of them maybe even before they are saved, but at least they begin to see what it means to be a Christian as they develop the servanthood pattern. And remember that for children, they need to see patterns before they can make good choices. And so developing this set of patterns, this is the way, this is what it means to be a servant of the Lord. This is what it means to be a Christian, to joyfully give yourself in real, even if they're small ways, but real and honest and authentic ways that aren't trite and aren't just trumped up piety. But this is a real way that I want to be of service to God. And they see that and say, oh, okay, I get it. And then at some point, they're going to be able to make good choices based on the patterns that they've seen and experienced. Does anybody have any comment from anything you've heard? Jonathan?
I have a growing question. What we're doing with our students beyond the 8th grade, by the time they're through 8th grade, they're pretty proficient in academic function. If our schools have been competent, which most of them are. Maybe we need to think about plowing up this whole field again beyond the 8th grade and working what would a program look like that would be equipping for the kingdom. And it would include this kind of stuff. I don't know, just a seed.
Well, you know, I think that's a seed that each of us could take back to our schools, because I think that's a really, really valid one, and I think it resonates with people like me. Because what happens if school does what it does, what it's supposed to do, and families do what they're supposed to do, and this whole process works up through, what people like me inherit is people who are on fire. And we've got young people who show up in the youth group and they want to serve the Lord. They want to teach school. And they, you know, they're there and they're ready to push and to pull. If it doesn't work, and you know, some of you will inherit bad home situations in your children, and so it's not, it's limited what you can do. But at bottom line, if it doesn't work, if whatever is happening doesn't work in family and school, what happens is by the time they get to us as 16, 17, 18-year-olds filled with bitterness and resentment and anger, it's really, really tough going for us. And so it's so much better if we can get out in front of that back here. So it's a great question. Take that back to your ministry, and it will resonate. What can we do that can help us build a kingdom focus in our school in a real way. Something we can do every week or every month that we can actually implement this. I think you will find that you'll find resonation there. And we've got several things that we do at our school. I don't know, Nathan, if you're wanting to comment about some of the things we've done at shop class. We have done projects that have benefited other people, and so on in the shop class that is run out back behind our school. Does anybody have anything that you do in your school that addresses this in any way?
Another caution, not that we don't do too much talking. I think our incentive programs are getting very self-centered. We say Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I got 3 goldfish for that. now we say the Beatitudes, and we get a trip to McDonald's, and we get Sundays. We're working at the opposite end of the stick from the other direction.
No, it's a good point. I don't think I need to comment more on that than the fact that, remember that it's success is its own reward, and that's the way it should be taught. Also, children reach out from a place of security. So if your children aren't secure in their classroom, it's going to be very difficult for them to reach out. That's where we all are, actually. You know, we can stand a lot if we're standing in a place of security. If we're feeling like our feet are being continually yanked out from underneath us, it's going to be hard for us to reach out. All right.
Well, one other comment on Jonathan's point. I taught mostly upper grades, and it is an easy method to use if you're teaching first and second grade to offer incentives. But the problem is that that's our mode of teaching. By the time they hit ninth and tenth grade, you have to grow that incentive so much that it doesn't work. You can't hand out $100 every time you get an A,
right.
Which is almost what
they would need.
What
There's a family in our who went to our school. Their oldest daughter, or youngest daughter, just graduated. But from the time they entered first grade, they got $1 for every 100 percent they got on a test, and their father gave them $1. And by the time that youngest daughter, about 16, she had saved money the whole time. She bought herself a car with her 100% tests. So that's, you know, it's beautiful when family sort of bands together with church networks. But yeah, incentive programs based on doing the right thing is its own reward. Success is its own reward. And I think really when we teach for competence and servanthood, you'll find that's the case. All right. Anybody else? So, lighting the world. What does light attract when it comes to spiritual light? Whom does light attract? It does. Physically, maybe sometimes spiritually. It attracts people coming out of darkness. So, you know, when it comes to classroom, maybe we're talking about one level. When it comes to you personally as a light on a hill, I think you will find that in your experience, that if you are a light, it will attract people coming out of darkness. And so it won't be easy necessarily. And that's something also I think our children need to internalize, is that this isn't supposed to be easy. You know, you do the right thing and you can get hurt. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Human relationships are messy. Service is messy. Servanthood is messy. Servants sometimes get hurt. So be okay with that. And just simply do the right thing. Allow God to take hold of the results. One of the most powerful evangelists that I know of in the Bible is Philip. And he isn't recorded, the Apostle Philip isn't recorded as having said very much. But over and over again, he and Andrew, both, we find them in situations where there are people with questions or people were in trouble. And in John 1, You have Jesus finding Philip and calling him. And Philip promptly goes out and he starts talking to his friends. And he finds his friend in Nathanael. And he says, "Hey, Nathanael, we found the one. We found the Messiah." And Nathanael says, "Oh, yeah? I think. Okay. Where's he from?" "He's from Nazareth." "Ah, oh, you kidding me? That's like saying you're from Missouri." "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And is it, remember what Philip said? "Come and see." When we're a light in the hill, we are not the light. We are simply a mirror of the light of God. And let's not steal God's thunder. Let's simply allow Him and His light to shine through us. And so Nathanael sort of begrudgingly comes over and he says, "Well, I'll talk to this Jesus man." And he starts talking to him. And his eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, you're the one under the fig tree. But I saw you before that." And it was a fig tree that wasn't on site. And Nathanael just said, "You're the Savior. You're the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Because I said I saw you under the fig tree and you weren't in, and I wasn't close by, you say that you believe, you're going to see a lot bigger things than that." And he did. He was in for a ride. And when it comes to us, people coming and asking us questions, I think I have made the mistake already of trying to have all the answers for them, when really I need to be saying, "Come and see." And people come to us with troubles. They come to us with, "What should I do? What should I do? What should I do?" A lot of times I've learned, I think I've learned, I hope I've learned, that the answer is not, "Well, I think you should do this and this and this and this." I say, "Well, what do you think that Jesus is calling you to do?" And, you know, often people actually have that answer in their mind. They back up and they say, "Well, I know what I should do, but it's hard for me to do it." And so this is a challenge. Light the world, but let it be Jesus' light. Also, teachers tend to be people who are visible. We have there are shy teachers and they are good teachers, but a lot of us are sort of noisy, and we, you know, the light shines. But there's not just light in the world that's doing God's work. There's also salt. How brightly does salt shine? Well, salty people can ask us, "Well, how salty does light taste?" Now, there's different people doing different things in God's kingdom, and you're going to have children who are salty and children who are full of light. And it's a challenge to find them where they actually are and build on those strengths and to respect, teach them to be fire spreaders and teach them to also respect and appreciate salt. God be with you as you go into this next year. I'm excited for what God is doing in the world, and I'm excited for what He has for you. God bless you. You're dismissed.